design and conflict. We have three speakers, I hope. Can you identify yourself if you're here? One door is here. Two others.
One sitting just outside.
Just outside, so she's going to come in. Enjoying
this.
Speakers, could you identify yourselves again? Dory's here, and presumably you're a speaker, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Thank you.
Me too.
Two out of three, anyway. So that's a good start. My name's Clive Edwards. I'm on the editorial board of the Journal of Design History. So that's my role today, is to chair this session. I don't plan to say anything more apart from wanting to introduce our first speaker, Dory Griffin, who's going to talk about conflicting views, print propaganda depicting tourism in a landscape of war. So over to Dory. Thank you. I would say, sorry, we're going to run all three papers consecutively. We will have questions at the end as a block of questions, so we can make sure everybody's got a chance to have their 20 minutes without any problem.
Probably people would be able to hear better if I stood. Yeah. All right. So this morning I'm going to be talking about the cartographic end papers for the 1945 guidebook, A DIU of American Red Cross, China, India, and Burma. They were illustrated by Ruth Taylor White, who was a prolific early 20th century American commercial artist. Her cartograph, and this is a term that she herself coined, represents the China, Burma, India, or CBI theater of World War II as an exotic travel destination that's only incidentally occupied by the American military. This unusual and beautifully crafted example of print propaganda visually encodes an acknowledged landscape of conflict as a simultaneously available site of enjoyable tourist consumption. Taylor White more typically illustrated maps of popular American vacation destinations. The Red Cross map that we're looking at combines thematic elements common to Taylor White's depictions of domestic leisure travel with highly sanitized representations of armed conflict and military occupation. The resulting image is a puzzling hybrid, a tourism map of a war zone. This paper is going to explore the rhetorical strategies that Taylor White employs in her Red Cross map to simultaneously familiarize and exoticize the landscape of the CBI theater for a popular and primarily, if not exclusively, American audience. Only about 2% of American troops who served in World War II were posted to the CBI theater, which is often called the Forgotten Theater by its American veterans. American troops were stationed in China with two major objectives: to supply the Chinese army against Japan, and to coordinate operations with the Chinese military, especially with the Chinese Air Force. Likewise, in India and Burma, about 400,000 American troops had the twin tasks of flying supplies to China via the hump over the Himalayas, and driving the Japanese army out of Upper Burma. Howard Burke's 1943 map for the Los Angeles Examiner takes the familiar propaganda poster approach to wartime information design, which we're all familiar with this approach. The alarmist color palette, the bold graphics, simplified forms, careful demarcation between us and them, and deceptively simple explanatory texts. One of them reads, for instance, simply, "Koreans would welcome American occupation," and it doesn't say anything further. Propagandistic though it is, the map effectively sums up the perceived tactical value of the CBI theater. Quote from the map: "Japan's back bristles with many stiff quills of fortified islands difficult to overcome, but the soft belly of Japan invites Allied attack." Taylor White's Red Cross map includes the tactical highlights of the CBI theater: airfields, supply routes, ports at Bombay and Calcutta, the Lido Road, and the hump itself. However, Taylor White's focus is less on the tactical value of the landscape and more on the human stories played out in that landscape. Her narrative approach differentiates her cartograph from most other American maps of World War II landscapes, such as this one, for instance. Popular maps of both the European and Pacific fronts appeared frequently in a variety of contexts during and immediately after the war. Propaganda posters, news reports, and war atlases supplied the public with maps designed to frame the conflict in specific ways. Most educational maps used a scientific visual vocabulary to communicate a message that was encoded for viewers as accurate and objective. The War Atlas for Americans here is a typical example. A collaboration between the Office of War Information and the Council on Books and Wartime, both American publishers, the Atlas combined, quoting from the introduction, maps and texts in an effort to explain to the everyday reader the past, present, and possible future of the war. Despite its textbook-like approach to visualizing the landscape, this atlas was praised for its attractiveness. The Kirkus Review called the maps fascinating, varied, and provocative, while the text was hailed as vivid and exciting reading. The book was an American Institute of Graphic Arts 50 Books of the Year pick, meaningful for American audiences. The AIGA jurors praised both its design sensibility and its broad audience appeal. Quote, here's an atlas that is as much fun as a picture book. All of the illustrations, by the way, are in exactly this style. Taylor White's Red Cross map, on the other hand, embraces the picture book aesthetic in a much more direct manner. The map is intended to be read as neither overtly scientific nor simplistically propagandistic. Instead, it attempts to occupy a middle ground where pictorial narrative offers both emotive appeal and informative context. For us, as 21st century viewers, the image reads as pure propaganda because of its unapologetic gendered and cultural stereotyping that we're seeing here. But for American audiences at the time of its publication, the Red Cross map was intended to be educational and appealing. In this regard, it was very typical of Taylor White's general approach to cartographic illustration, which was very well established by 1945. The artist's work was consistently read by contemporaneous reviewers as factually correct and culturally enlightening. Taylor White's self-proclaimed focus as a cartographic illustrator was to make geography, quote, delightfully amusing. Her largest project was the publication of Our USA, a Gay Geography, we're looking at the frontispiece here, published by Little Brown of Boston in 1935. This pictorial atlas of the United States was a collaboration with her brother, a journalist named Frank, and the book was widely reviewed. The New York Times Review proclaimed that, quote, these maps convey a great deal of accurate information with the gusto of the funny papers. In the Red Cross map, Taylor White used representational devices and narrative tropes that she had long since established as part of her signature style of, in her words, amusing accuracy. Many of Taylor White's formal and narrative decisions in the Red Cross map have their roots in one of her earliest commercial projects, a series of maps commissioned in 1931 by the Hawaii Tourists Bureau. These maps represented the maturation of Taylor White's illustrative style. She had published maps prior to this date, primarily as end papers to various of her brother Frank's books about the national parks of the Western United States. But none of these had been in full color, and none of them had been issued independently as maps in their own right, rather than as book illustrations. The Hawaii Tourist Bureau Illustration Commission gave her the chance to develop her monochromatic in-paper illustrations into full-color standalone maps. In 1941, with a growing American military presence at Pearl Harbor, the Hawaiian Service reprinted five of these cartographs as the Hawaiian Islands Colored Cartograph Map Folder with Aloha and Cordial Greetings. The folder included a composite map of the territory of Hawaii, which you're looking at on the left, as well as individual maps of Maui, Oahu, Kauai, and Hawaii. It also included a message to American military personnel, the audience for the folder. Quoting from the text that you can see but probably not read, this colored series of cartographs is specially arranged for and dedicated with smiles and flowers to the many welcome newcomers in Hawaii, nurses, sailors and soldiers, Marines, war workers, and others who are all out for a complete victory. In addition to being included in the greeting folder, the Territory of Hawaii map was also reprinted as a standalone map, and it included an all-purpose description of the islands printed on the back, which was evidently seen as a quick solution for GIs who were too busy to describe for themselves the landscape when they wrote letters home. These Hawaii maps epitomized Taylor White's general approach to conceptualizing the landscape and they provided the basis for her large 1935 project, Our USA. In general, her visual vocabulary focuses on historical events, natural and architectural landmarks, native cultures, she explicitly calls them native cultures, outdoor recreation, and transportation networks. These priorities remain consistent in the Red Cross map, as we're going to see. So for instance, representing historical events, Taylor White depicts Captain Cook's discovery of Hawaii in 1778, and an undated conversation between a local rice farmer and a Catholic cartographer priest near Shanghai. Illustrating transportation networks, she pictures an island steamer approaching the coast of Hawaii and a mail boat sailing toward Bombay, the gateway to India. In both the Hawaii and Red Cross maps, colorful natives go about their quaint activities amid local architecture. And finally, white visitors engage in outdoor sports near natural landmarks. In this way, Taylor White both highlights the specific exotic features of each location and simultaneously casts those features as part of a familiar and recognizable pattern. While the details vary between destinations, the basic approach to representation remains constant. This allows viewers to conceptualize the landscape as both recognizably foreign and easily understandable. The relationship between the exotic and the comprehensible was of particular interest in 1945 when Taylor White illustrated the Red Cross map. At the time, scholars from a variety of disciplines were writing about the American experience of China, Burma, and India. They contextualized the conflict and the landscapes in which it played out in relationship to diverse disciplines such as history, political science, nursing, and linguistics. Many of these authors had served in the CBI theater, and they filtered their analysis not only through a disciplinary lens, but also, and often much more noticeably, through the lens of their own personal experience. In 1947, William Lockwood, an American Air Force veteran who had served in China, wrote for the Far Eastern Survey that, quote, "Our first venture in large-scale American tourism in China seems to have evoked many sour, even hostile reactions to the Chinese." And by tourism, Lockwood specifically and explicitly meant the experience of GIs, in his words, fresh from the China-Burma-India theater. Like Lockwood's text, Taylor White's map certainly conflates the American military presence with tourism. She, however, puts a more positive spin on the situation, focusing on souvenirs, cultural experiences, and visits to the local landmarks. She shows a Red Cross nurse accepting a string of pearls from a diver near Bangkok. Near the Mekong River, a soldier mimics the movements of a classical Thai dancer, and in India, a smiling couple strolls past the Taj Mahal. Quite literally, the map puts a happy face on the American experience of the CBI theater. Lockwood, though he acknowledged the negative opinions of many Americans stationed in China, similarly applied a layer of rosy nostalgia. He wrote that as the memory of boredom and hardship fades, quote, the glamour grows. He describes memories of, quote, the lush green fields and blue mountains, that lake with its temples, the ceaseless flow of life along the city streets, those girls, that incredible liquor, the columns of straw-sandaled soldiers moving up the dusty road, a thousand other sights and sounds and smells. Finally, he concludes that, quote, all the boys are now experts in China. They went to the end of the world and it was quite a place. Likewise, Taylor White takes great care to place smiling GIs and Red Cross nurses in the most remote corners of China and India, and her map certainly illustrates a prolific range of exotic sights and sounds and smells. Writing about the American GI experience in India for the journal American Speech in 1948, Eugene Vest pointed out that, quote, contact between Americans and the natives of India and Burma amounted to considerably more than that involved in haggling over the price of an ivory elephant or a teakwood box. He went on to list three types of common interactions between American troops and the local population. An army of natives labored for the American army to build infrastructure, most notably roads. A veritable river of Indian goods was procured and consumed by the army, and nearly all American officers had their own native bearers and servants, and enlisted troops sometimes hired them as well. All three of these types of interactions, manual labor, commerce, personal service, appear on Taylor White's maps of both India and China-Burma. In China and India, Taylor White depicts both men and women doing heavy labor for infrastructure construction projects. with relationship to commerce. She depicts both the tourist trade and military supply operations, primarily in the form of aviation fuel. And on both continents, mental carts and rickshaws carrying American soldiers. Taylor White represents the experience of American women in the CBI theater in ways that likewise align with published accounts from the latter days of the war. The focus, no matter the activity, seems to be the cheerful attitude of the women being represented. Throughout the map, smiling female Red Cross volunteers staff club mobiles serving hot coffee and donuts. Army nurse corps nurses happily tend wounded, yet also smiling soldiers. And even while swimming in the ocean, the women on the Red Cross map offer the troops a friendly smile and a tray of donuts. Quite a feat. Only one woman in the entire CBI theater fails to smile, and she is swooning in the presence of General Stilwell's numerous medals. The accounts of Army nurses stationed in the CBI theater, printed in the December 1944 American Journal of Nursing, echo Taylor White's determined good cheer. Quote, "Our second Christmas in such a hot country was not anticipated with pleasure," Lieutenant Sarah Raymer reported. "Then the ball started rolling," end quote. And nurses and Red Cross volunteers manufactured a happy Christmas out of little more than determination and recycled paper decorations. Lieutenant Emilia Storch wrote from the Burma jungle that, quote, "Several weeks before Christmas, we began to plan. We had only the natural resources of the jungle and the salvage of our discarded hospital supplies to work with. Our isolated location made ingenuity and adaptability our most valuable tools," end quote. A can-do attitude and unfailing cheerfulness were, of course, common pictorial and narrative tropes during the war, so it's hardly surprising that Taylor White depicts the women of the CBI theater as perpetually smiling. Based on how she depicted herself in other maps and illustrations, it's probable that the woman riding an elephant in the northwest corner of India is a self-portrait of Taylor White. An enthusiastic traveler, she visited many of the places she illustrated. Red Cross records indicate that Taylor White concluded 1 year of service with the Red Cross in India in September of 1945. Her personal experience of the CBI theater, while distinct from the experiences of nurses and American soldiers, nevertheless lends her map a certain verisimilitude. Like William Lockwood, who wrote about large-scale American tourism in China, Taylor White clearly wanted to depict the CBI theater in the best possible light. Unlike Lockwood, she offered no caveats to her rosy depiction. There are unfortunately no published or indexed archival accounts to reveal what her personal experiences of the region might have been. As a commercial illustrator, though, she clearly chose to focus on or to imagine the lighthearted and generically exotic experiential elements that most appealed to American audiences of the time. The narrative scope of the Red Cross map is extensive, particularly for a map printed on a single tabloid-sized sheet. It is Taylor White's narrative approach that allows her to so effectively combine combat and tourism into a single pictorial landscape. Though often stereotypical in their approach to characterization, Taylor White's cartographs emphasize individual human interactions with the landscape by picturing a large cast of identifiable, sympathetic characters at work and play in specific environments. In other words, the cartographs tell detailed stories about specific individuals. In this regard, they differ from the 19th century view maps that are their formal and conceptual predecessors. Here we're looking at a typical view map of San Francisco because Ruth Taylor White spent much of her career there. While view maps showed the urban landscape in incredible detail and occasionally included anonymous figures, they did not directly engage narrative in the manner of Taylor White's cartographs. When compared to maps appearing in other guidebooks from the 1940s, Taylor White's Red Cross map again emerges as particularly narrative and character-driven. Guidebooks to the regions in which troops had been stationed during the war were common, both before and immediately after peace was declared. The vast majority of these included very utilitarian maps like the ones of Bombay and Calcutta that we're seeing here. Occasionally, as in the U.S. Army's Yank magazine guide to the CBI theater called Yank's Magic Carpet, simple pictorial maps appeared. The one on the right is the most pictorial map I could find to compare to Taylor White's cartograph. But Taylor White's dazzling array of characters and stories stands out, making her Red Cross map a unique pictorial narrative of a specific place and time, albeit from a very specific and personalized viewpoint. A GI view of American right across China, India, and Burma combines the familiar and the exotic in ways designed to transform a recent war zone into a desirable tourist zone. Taylor White's cartographic approach utilized multiple strategies to accomplish this goal. Her narrative and aesthetic decisions reflected strategies that she had developed and found successful over almost two decades of cartographic illustration. Her depiction of the CBI Theater aligned with the ways in which well-educated veterans were recounting their experiences in print for scholarly and professional audiences at the conclusion of the war. In her Red Cross map, Taylor White combined her typical approach to tourist destinations with depictions of the American military presence and the recently concluded conflict. In so doing, she transformed the China-Burma-India Theater into a hybrid landscape of both American war and American tourism. And if you have further comments,
Thank you, Dari.